from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm happy to be here this afternoon with some of my partners in law enforcement, both in Erie County, but also from Suffolk County, New York. With me this afternoon is Sheriff John Garcia from the Erie County Sheriff's Department, and Chief DJ Granville from the Erie County Sheriff's Department as well. In addition, we have Suffolk County District Attorney Ray Tierney and one of his colleagues, Nick, from the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office. We are here to talk about the drug overdose, the opioid epidemic problem that we have in this country, and of course, specifically in New York State. And primarily in the recent days, the recent years, it has become a problem that is fentanyl-centric. The statistics that I can share with you from the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency will tell us that in 2023, there was enough fentanyl seized by the Drug Enforcement Agency to kill every American in this country. That was just one year. Enough fentanyl was seized that would kill everybody in this country. And I'll highlight the problem with fentanyl and its how fatal it is by pointing to two things. One, 2 milligrams, which is the size of 5 to 7 grains of salt, just 2 milligrams. 5 to 7 grains of salt is a lethal dose of fentanyl. The amount of fentanyl that can fit in one sugar packet, one tiny sugar packet, would kill 500 people. So that's how deadly fentanyl is. And we are finding fentanyl laced in cocaine, in heroin, in all kinds of other drugs that we never used to see. And it is a problem. In 2023, 107,500 Americans died of a drug overdose. And in Erie County alone, 447 residents of Erie County died of opioid overdose. This is a crisis that is continuing. It is continuing to accelerate, and we are here to talk about some common sense legislation that has been proposed by my colleague Ray Tierney from the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office, who brought this to the attention of the legislature with bipartisan support. This is not a political issue. This is a bipartisan supported issue. The legislation that Mr. Tierney has put together with his team has bipartisan support, including from some of our people in Western New York. And I'm here, you know, in part to say thank you to Mr. Tierney for his initiative and for spearheading these three bills that we're going to talk about here this afternoon, and also to recognize and point out Sheriff John Garcia, who has, you know, just yesterday we were in the sheriff's office because the sheriff has really taken an initiative himself in dealing with the narcotics problem that we have in Buffalo and Erie County, and specifically related to fentanyl. And I think it's in part due to the sheriff's background. He came from the Buffalo Police Department, their narcotics unit and homicide unit. And of course, both of those experience that the sheriff has is relative to this problem. So, you know, we have great relationships with our partners, and this is an example of it. Mr. Tierney's from the absolute opposite end of the state, and the very far end of Long Island. And this legislation is obviously necessary, not just for Erie County, but for the folks that live in Suffolk County, the folks that live in Syracuse, in Albany, and all across this state, all across this country. So the one law that we've referred to in that Suffolk County DA Ray Tierney has identified as Chelsea's Law, it deals with a problem that as prosecutors, we are unable to charge a drug dealer who sells a drug like fentanyl to a user, someone who's got an opioid addiction, and we can't charge that drug dealer with that with the death in under New York state laws currently. Now they can do it in the federal system, and a lot of times we will ask our federal partners down the street to adopt a case. But that's insufficient. That's inadequate, and it's long overdue that we have this change. Chelsea's law allows prosecutors like me and Mr. Tierney to charge dealers with manslaughter if the buyer sells fentanyl, for example, and the dealer had reason to know that the substance that they sold would likely cause someone's death. And let's face it, everyone knows that fentanyl is killing people. These drug dealers know that when they're selling a drug just to simply make some money, that they are likely to kill somebody by selling that fentanyl. They know it. These are homicides. We all know that that's what they are, and it's about time the laws in New York State reflect our understanding and the public's understanding that fentanyl is killing people. So that's Chelsea's law. The second statute designates a substance that is called xylazine as a controlled substance. Currently, xylazine is not on the schedule. It's not considered a controlled substance in New York. Xylazine is a tranquilizer. It's a drug that's used by veterinarians to sedate large animals like horses and cows. And drug dealers are now putting xylazine in other drugs because it's actually cheaper than fentanyl, but it's just as problematic. And xylazine isn't on the schedule. It needs to be identified as a controlled substance by New York State legislators. And the legislation, again, that Mr. Tierney has put together would do that. So, and that would allow us to prosecute dealers that are selling a drug that has xylazine in it. We could charge them with the sale of a controlled substance. And the final bill is it has to do with the recognition of the families of victims of overdoses and allowing them to have access to crime victim services. The Office of Victim Services right now will help people who have a family member that dies in a homicide, like a shooting or a stabbing. They can apply for funds from the Office of Victim Services in New York State, and they will be helped with things like funeral services. Well, overdose victims don't qualify for some reason. And the legislation, again, that Mr. Tierney has prepared and has advocated for this past legislative session would qualify the victims of overdoses, their families, to apply for crime victims services funds. So we are in support of all of those bills, and we think they're common sense measures. They are not political issues. They have bipartisan support. And, you know, this was I knew that District Attorney Tierney was coming up here on other business today, and on the heels of yesterday's press conference that we had at the sheriff's office on the two fentanyl arrests that I don't need to get back into again, but it made sense to me and to all of us that we, again, try to shine light on this problem and this legislation. And if we could get our legislators behind this legislation, it would help us do our jobs. It would help the sheriff and his team do his job, and it would help us as prosecutors do our jobs in prosecuting people that are peddling this poison. They're selling these poisonous drugs, and they don't care that these drugs are killing people. And it's about time we recognized that fentanyl is a drug that's killing people, and we call it what it is. It's a homicide. So that concludes my remarks for now, and I want to turn it over to District Attorney Tierney.
Well, I want to thank D.A. Kane, Sheriff Garcia, and the rest of the officials today for inviting me to this press conference. And I think it's indicative of the fact that law enforcement across the state recognizes the situation and this current opioid epidemic that we're going through, and the fact that we need not only to work together, but we need some help with some common sense legislation that is going to help us address this problem. And as D.A. Kane said, you can't get much further from Erie County and stay in New York than Suffolk County. But Mike and I were going over the overdose numbers for Erie County and Suffolk County, and they are almost identical. And that's to say that the same problem that we see in Suffolk County, the same problem we see in Erie County, same problem we see in New York State and across the country, everyone is going and experiencing the death of their citizens. In 2022, we had 399 and rising fentanyl overdose deaths in Suffolk County. We at that same time, we had 30 homicides. So we had well over a tenth as many people dying from fentanyl overdoses as we did from homicides. And, you know, as D.A. Cain said, loss is loss. It doesn't matter to the family when they lose a loved one. So we have to address this. And we've got some what we believe to be modest proposals. And again, I thank the support of the sheriff and the DA for their support of these bills. But first off, we have Chelsea's Law, which is commonly referred to as the death by dealer statute. Chelsea's Law is named after 31-year-old Chelsea Murray, a Suffolk County resident. Who unfortunately died of a fentanyl overdose. You know, I had the opportunity to speak with Chelsea's parents, Gene and Sue, as well as a number of other victims' families, and the story is all sadly the same. Despite their efforts to help their child, once they were caught in the throes of this addiction, there was nothing that could be done, and they lost their child to it. So we need to give a name to our victims. D.A. Cain talked about charging them with a manslaughter or additional criminal liability for the fact that their selling of this poison caused the death, but also it gives a name to the victim. Chelsea Murray, the perpetrator of that crime, he pled guilty to a narcotics case, received a sentence of 10 years, which is not an insignificant case. But on that indictment that he pled guilty to, Chelsea Murray's name is nowhere on that indictment. So we need, if nothing else, we need to give a name to our victims and make sure that the perpetrators, the ones responsible for selling this poison, they are held responsible for what they do, and that is causing the death of all of these young people. So that's death by dealer. We have xylazine. We're seeking to have xylazine. It's not a controlled substance in New York State. It's not illegal to possess. That's simply madness. If you look at our overdoses in Suffolk County, fentanyl overdoses, opioid overdoses, about 18%, the toxicology reports from about 18% of our overdose cases, xylazine, tranq, is also contained in that toxicology report along with fentanyl. And you know, the scary thing about that is, opioid, fentanyl is an opioid. Narcan could countermand the effects of fentanyl. Narcan cannot countermand the effects of xylazine. So a person could be overdosing from a combination of fentanyl and xylazine. First responders could be helping them, trying to revive them from the fentanyl, but doing nothing to help them from the xylazine. So we need to address this. It's only going to get worse. As D.A. Cain said, it is even cheaper than fentanyl. It's incredibly powerful. It exacerbates the effect of fentanyl and other opioids. And last week, we took down a narcotics case, and we found, standing by itself, close to a kilo of xylazine in a narcotic trafficker's house, which in and of itself is terrifying. And then the last legislation is again making since it's not really even an overdose, it's not an overdose, it's a poisoning. So let's make crime victims compensation funds available to the families, so they could at least get some funds and some support when these unspeakable tragedies happen. So again, nothing but gratitude towards the folks in Erie County for their warm greeting and allowing me to come in and talk about these critically important issues. And with that, I think I'm going to hand it over to Sheriff Garcia.
Thank you. And thank you for coming up, DA Attorney. Thank you very much. And DA and Kane, amazing that we're all working together on this. You know, the very important points that were made by these gentlemen is this. It's about common sense. This is not a political, the situation where it really needs to lobby one side or the other. Everybody's on board because at the end of the day, this is about taking care of our people, our public. And as the attorney said, it's not about overdosing. It's about poisoning people in the community. And the drug dealers that are peddling this poison, you know, they look at it as risk and reward. And the risk is really not that bad right now for them because they'll be getting out. But if they're charged with manslaughter, they'll be doing some time. The reward is the monetary reward. It's about greed and making money. And every case that we get, we seize a good amount of money. And there's always the firearms, the illegal firearms that protect the business. We need this because we have to fight this issue from every single angle possible. And we have a campaign going out there by Erie County and the Department of Health that says your drugs are not safe. We're going to give you test strips to ensure that there's no fentanyl in your drugs. And there's also public service announcements regarding, when you do use with a buddy and so forth. But we also need to crack down on these individuals that care nothing else other than making money. And that is absolutely horrible. And they are poisoning people. They're poisoning people in the community to a rate which is very similar to your county, sir. And I can't believe it because, really, the amount of homicides in the city of Buffalo compared to the 400-plus overdoses that we're projecting for 2024, it's basically the same. It's 10%, for homicides. So this is a public health issue. It affects everybody from the town of Clarence to Clarence Street in Buffalo. It doesn't matter if you're black or white or male or female. It affects every single person. And for law enforcement, being in homicide, being in narcotics, and having to go knock on that door of the parents' door and tell them that their daughter is or their son is dead is absolutely gut-wrenching. So let's not stand still, and we're not. We're moving forward. This legislation's going to help. And hopefully it's going to do what we do in law enforcement. We deter crime. And hopefully when the drug dealers hear that they're going to be charged with maybe manslaughter, that's going to increase the risk. And they're going to say the reward is not worth it. I can't thank these two gentlemen enough. It's a pleasure meeting you, sir. And Nick, nice to meet you, too. And thank you for coming so far. And it's a very important issue here in Erie County. And I want to thank our great partner here in Erie County, our DA, Michael Kane. And his team is a 24-hour, 7-days-a-week team that we could call, and they're like us. We answer the phone. What do you need? This is how you're going to do it. Let's work, keep on working together. And I'm so proud to work with you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff.
I guess, do you believe that putting this precedent in the dealers will be enough to bring the deaths down by fentanyl here in New York?
Well, I do think the sheriff is right. I think there is a deterrent factor here. If we can tell the drug dealers that they're going to be prosecuted for a homicide, it should give them pause. Quite honestly, I think the sheriff and DA Tierney are correct in calling these poisonous deaths. These people, they overdosed, but they were poisoned. And I went to the Black Balloon Day event here in the city a couple of months ago, and then out to where the victims of these poisoned deaths victims were recognized at the Historical Society, and we read off each of the names, and we're all sick and tired of this. And it's about time that the legislature recognized this as the problem that it is and took this seriously. We have to evolve. Fentanyl didn't exist the way it does today, 10, 15 years ago. And we have to recognize that. It's killing people. It is way worse than cocaine. It is way worse than even heroin. And you have to evolve as a society, and the legislation needs to evolve with us. So, yes, I do think it would be effective. I do think it would be a deterrent. That's the whole reason we're all standing here.
Could you talk about how these words like overdose, which sounds like an accident, right? That's used to be how it's used. But you're really talking about poisoning. There's intent behind it. they know, everybody knows, like you're saying. So can you talk about how that changes things and what that would mean in terms of prosecution?
Sure. Well, Maki, I do think that they are accidents, okay? Because the people, the addicts that are taking the drugs, they are not intending to kill themselves. They, a lot of times they don't even know that what they are taking has fentanyl in it or the other drugs that could kill them. They're not even aware that those drugs are laced with fentanyl. So in that sense, it truly is an accident. They're not trying to kill themselves. But the drug dealers certainly know. And if we can prove that they know, they certainly know that fentanyl kills people. Everybody knows that. And if they're selling fentanyl, they know that someone is likely to die that uses fentanyl. So that's the intent. But it's just so we're clear, the manslaughter statute that we're talking about amending would not require an intent to kill. It's a recklessness standard. And I think that fits what we're talking about here. They're not necessarily intending to kill the people that they're selling the drugs to, but they certainly know that that's what's likely to happen, and that is recklessness.
Can I make a point, Maki, on this? You know, so yesterday when we had those two cases, Chief Granville and our detectives recovered mask and gloves and rubber gloves, right? So the drug dealer absolutely knew that the substance that he was mixing into the individual bags to then sell to the people addicted to drugs, the customers, was hazardous, right? And, you know, you have heroin, you have cocaine, and then you have these other substances that are much cheaper. So they know that if they're putting fentanyl and xylazine in with these other more expensive products, which is cocaine and heroin, it's a bigger profit. And xylazine is not even a controlled substance. So, you know, I need to, I don't know what the answer is, but the kilo, sir, that was recovered, PHL 3345? I'm not sure what the charge was, but it's so...
You got to go to your federal partners, and you got to beg them to help you out.
Otherwise, at the federal level, it's
well. There's an analog statute on the federal.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
There's an analog statute in the federal level. So if something is a dangerous narcotic drug, but through its chemical composition doesn't fit the exact definition of, say, heroin or nitazine or fentanyl, you could charge it under the federal system as a analog drug. And charge it as with the same or similar sanctions as a narcotics case. So if you sell a dangerous narcotic and are prosecuted in the federal system, you could be held responsible. Here, unless it fits a strict definition of a narcotic drug, in New York State, you can't be prosecuted. And for right now, xylazine is not defined as a drug under New York State law.
The bills that you're talking about, would they be retroactive, or is it like...
No, going forward.
Going forward, okay. And I'm wondering if Chief Granville could talk about, are you seeing xylazine here? Is that something that's... And there's the other one that I can't pronounce, it's like metamine.
I can't pronounce it either, so I'm not going to try.
Jeremy?
Thank you.
There we go.
Yes.
Xylazine we've been seeing for quite a while. Unfortunately, it's not something that our lab tests for because it's not controlled. So there's no reason for them to test for accreditation issues and other issues as well. But xylazine, we've been seeing, it's kind of a roller coaster ride with xylazine. We see a bunch of it, and then we don't. You know, there's no way to kind of, no reason why. But we do see it consistently in fentanyl. No other drug but fentanyl.
Could you talk about other ways that you would prove that the dealer knew that what they were putting into their substance?
Well, I think the sheriff had just mentioned it. We were casually discussing our cases from last week, and there was generally with these guys that are dealing, guys or girls that are dealing fentanyl, they possess a 95 mask, gloves, they take all proper precautions to sell, to package their drugs, to press it, to sell it. They take all the precautions, you know, but once they hand that off, it's like, give me your money and on your way. So they're taking the proper precautions, and our users, unfortunately, are dying because of it.
So where you're seeing the xylazine is in the fentanyl, it's not separate?
That's correct.
So just to follow up on that point, on a number of our cases in Suffolk County, you know, you'll get subsequent to the arrest, you'll get discussions between customers as well as co-conspirators, and whether it's on the phone or it's via text message or whatever, and you'll have a drug dealer, and one of their co-conspirators will call them and said, you know, there were 5 overdoses last night. And they say, oh, okay. And then someone will call up and say, you know, I want to buy, you know, from the same batch as last night, and they'll sell it. So that's a clear example. We have another example where he's talking to, you know, a drug dealer, we're talking to a co-conspirator and say, we have nothing but heroin fentanyl mix. And then someone will call up and say, I want to buy heroin, but I have to make sure it has to be only heroin. And they'll say, no, don't worry. It's not as dangerous as fentanyl because there's no fentanyl in it, and then there'll be an overdose death. So there are a number of ways in which you can prove knowledge. And again, as DA Kane said, this isn't an intentional murder, but this is a recognition of a risk, and then a reckless disregard of that risk, which results in the death of another.
Where's the status of this bill? Is it essentially awaiting to be signed by the governor, or what's?
So, you know, it was proposed in this legislative season. I think, again, as we've all been saying, we're it's getting traction. It's getting bipartisan support. It just didn't make it, you know, into session, and it didn't get signed into law. We're going to continue next, you know, for the next session, and we're going to continue to push it. And again, you know, every time we go back, we seem to have more people in our coalition. And our coalition is not only public officials, law enforcement officials, it's victims advocates, it's controlled substance advocates, it's law enforcement agencies, it's public health and controlled substance folks, and there a good number of them support the legislation.
What do you think it is that's holding it back right now?
Well, I don't know. I think, quite frankly, legislators legislate. This is common sense, effective legislation, and they need to push it forward. We have a number of legislators that are on both sides of the aisle who are looking to do that. Once you get a certain number, you push it over the goal line. So that's what we need to do. We need to get more. Although we have support, we need to get more support in the Senate and the House.
Okay, let me add to that too.
Sure.
So I think, you know, what's holding it up is we need to continue to shine light on it. We need to bring it to their attention, and that's what we're trying to do here today. I know that DA Tierney did this back in January when they first introduced the legislation for this legislative session that just ended. It didn't get done, but it takes effort, and we've got great partners here. I know that the sheriff and other sheriffs across the state support this legislation. Police departments across the state support this legislation. You know, DA Tierney both serve on the District Attorneys Association of the state of New York, 62 counties represented. We are all going to be pushing for this legislation, and we got to bring it to the legislators' attention that this is common sense, smart, and long overdue legislation that should be passed.
Can you talk about how, the overdose, these opioid deaths in Erie County have continued to go up. You know, there was progress before the pandemic. Pandemic ruined everything, but it still keeps going up. Are we doing enough? Is this the kind of thing we need more of? This, like, could you address that?
I mean, we have to continue to work at it, you know, and we have to work at it in a multitude of ways. You know, we work with our partners in the treatment centers. You know, one of the things that we were talking about before we came in to speak with you is we were talking about the opioid court in Erie County. And I know DA Tierney has a similar problem and before in 2018 and 2019. The number of referrals to the opioid treatment court that we started here in Buffalo, New York, the first one of its kind in the nation, started in end of 2017. In 2018 and 2019, the number of referrals to that court were approximately 200. Okay, we're now under 40. And it's been that way for the last several years because we can't hold these people. You know, if all they have is you know, a narcotic, or if they have heroin, and it's just a misdemeanor level charge. They get an appearance ticket and they're on their way. If there's no leverage for the court to hold them and to make them go to opioid court, they're not going. They're going home. And they're going to continue to use. And that's a problem. And the judges don't like it. The judge that's in the opioid court doesn't like it. I know that the treatment, the guy that runs the treatment program, a guy by the name of Jeff Smith, he's very passionate about his job. He's been doing it for over 20 years. He is very upset about this circumstance that we're in. But if we don't have a hammer, we don't have some leverage to make these people go get treatment, it's not as effective. So we got to continue to, you know, do these kinds of things, and quite frankly, we got to figure out a way to give us the leverage that we don't have anymore to make people get treatment, so that they're not, you know, just walking out and going and shooting up heroin again that might be laced with fentanyl.
Is there any legislation being proposed that would address that?
I'm sure there is, Maki, but I'm also equally sure that. That's a longer road than this stuff, because I from the conversations I've had with DA Tierney, the legislation that we're talking about here has actually gotten some traction. It's gotten the attention, as I said, of bipartisan support. That's the way you get this done. You know, this is common sense. So, you know, our hope is that we can, like I said, continue to shine the light on this problem. You know, we're all talking about fentanyl, and we're all, you know, we're all, you know, devastated by the number of deaths that we have across this nation and in our county specifically. But if we continue to do nothing about it, we're going to have the same results. Like, we need to take some steps that make sense. And no one's addressed the fentanyl problem legislatively in New York yet. So,
can I mention something, Maki? As far as what DA Kane said, you know, we have 165 people in the medication-assisted treatment program within both correctional facilities. That's compared to zero before. So it's 165 people that are now getting Suboxone, methadone, or Vivitrol, depending on, you know, opiate or alcoholism. They're also getting a social worker, counseling, and we're connecting them with a social worker once on the outside. So isn't it something that you get more services inside a jail than you get out in the community? And it's something that when a parent calls and says, is my son John Doe or my daughter Jane Doe in your custody? And we say yes, they say thank God, because the alternative might be that they're in an abandoned house or under a bridge shooting up. So, you know what, as D.A. Kane said, we have to approach this from every angle, and we have to do something about it today, or we'll be talking about this 5 years from now. And it's, you know, the Erie County issue. I know that the numbers are going up, and nationally they're going down, but New York State's going up. So it's, you know, every county. I'll be at the sheriff's conference on Monday, and the rest of the sheriffs, we always talk about this. This is a problem that we're facing out in the community. And you know how we feel about a sugar packet container of fentanyl getting into the jail? And so, you know, we had to, you know, improve our security for visits, the mail, packages coming in, because people want it. People, you know, it's currency too, making money before they go to state prison. So this is an issue that sheriffs across the state are facing inside and outside the facilities.
I was just wondering what your visit's about.
So
it's not about this, right?
Well, it was you know, we, you know, obviously we have a lot of cases in Suffolk, so one of those cases took us up to here, so we came. You know, Erie County was kind enough to help us out, and you know, with our casework as we do with them, and then you know, this I am a big advocate of this legislation, so DA Kane was kind enough to invite me to this press conference. So there were a number of reasons why I was up here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.